If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is, we're transparent light, shimmering between the dimensions now. We're transparent light, shimmering between dimensions now. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call forward your shimmering transparency, that divine essence that is not localized, but truly omnipresent. And yet we are like a kiss of love placed upon the face of time-space. And it is our love that conspires us here. It is our love that holds us here. It is our commitment to extend our loving into all life that causes us to shimmer but a while longer in this material third dimension. You do not realize how high your vibrations are, because when you look in the mirror, you see the memory of what you project forward as the familiar face in the mirror. But those of us who have eyes that can see into the subtle levels can clearly see when you come before us the transparency, the translucency, the transfiguring of that which you call the material form. So let's just call ourselves forward into a more of a conscious recognition of this. Or at least allow yourself to consider the possibility that you are indeed a translucent, beautiful presentation of the divine into time-space, but only as an appearance, for in highest truth you have never left the heart of God. What is the heart of God? It is the center within the center of the great, great central sun. That is the cosmic Christos. That is the origin of the divine being that you are, as an extension, a ray, if you will, of that divine love. It's the part that is not hot. The sun, you see, has three aspects corresponding to the spirit, the soul, and the outer personality. The outer sun, you see, represents fire by friction. The friction of the auras of the sun with the auras of the other planets causes a sensation of heat. That represents the fire that we kindle by friction here in this dimension. There is a deeper core in the sun which represents the Christ, or the soul, or the solar angel, that which is often referred to as the spark of divinity, that is latent as a divine potential within all beings, but is also referred to as the soul, or the Christ consciousness, or the Christic principle. And then you have that deeper level that we call the great, great, great central sun that represents the monad, the life principle, the Father with a capital F, that which we refer to as the Atman or spirit. So you see the sun in its visible presentation, but veils a deeper truth, a deeper reality, just as your physical body veils a deeper truth within you. For we are each manifestations of that threefold fire that has just been described relating to the sun that you see in the sky. Know that every form but veils a deeper divine truth. Every form hides a precious treasure. So if we only look at the outer form, relate to the outer form, whether it be the form of a planet, a sun, a human being, or anything in nature, we do not see anything as it truly is. For the spiritual eyes must be open, the spiritual ears must be able to hear, the spiritual heart must be open to understand the hidden things that all outer forms veil. So if you wish, if you choose to, you can ask most sincerely that any veils that could be lifted to you tonight for you, through grace, if it be for your highest good, to see things more clearly, more deeply, with a broader understanding, that that could be gifted to you. So often we don't think to ask. We're way too passive sometimes. We go after the things in the outer world, and that occupies most of our time and our attention and our energy. But when you sit quietly and silently and turn the attention inward, therein you can go after the things of God, the things of the hidden realms, the esoteric. So let's chant the hue three times, bringing that divine alignment and centering. Close your eyes and focus back in the center of your head, inside your skull, back behind your brow. Take a deep breath and relax. This will be a very powerful transmission of impartation, quickening in the activation of a deeper vision for those of you that are ready. And you probably are, or you would not be listening. That's it. Just relax. Allow the energies to flow through your body. Some of you are rocking like I am, back and forth. Those currents of energy are alive and moving. They tend to rock the body. just be comfortable with how spirit aligns and presents through your instrument. Okay, now we're going to chant the cue 3 times. Deep breath. Very many of you who have come to see me lately I'm seeing through your physical bodies. You're transparent. Sometimes I can see the door behind you or the objects behind you through you. There's the transparent form, and then there's looking through that transparency. Doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes the vibration that you present to me is very heavily laden with the mind. And do you know that it's the heaviness of your mindset and its habitual thought that densify you here in this physical dimension? Do you realize that if you didn't have that heavy layer of thought and concern and worry, there would be nothing to hold you here? So sometimes after working with me for a while, some of that begins to lift. And you'll find a lightness of being start to come forward. The worry-laden narrative takes a vacation. And laughter and lightheartedness began to come forth. And with it, the vibration begins to shimmer. And the frequency lightens. And the heavy energy that entered the room is no more there. Instead, there is laughter and joy. And the innocence of a child. We don't become childish, but childlike in the sense that we are without mental complexity. Always ready to laugh and enjoy the moment. Children are very much present with the moment. And that's how we truly enter into the joy of that which transcends the mind. So all of you that come to sit with me in satsang, without exception, have a very white expansion of light around your body. And when those heavy thought forms are released and lifted by the many, many who work through this instrument and with this instrument and are present with you when you come, it begins to lighten and lighten and lighten and lighten the frequency until we both are in an altered state. And sometimes there will be ones that see me disappear. And sometimes I see you begin to also dissolve. Do you realize without that heavy mind, without those mental programs and habits of dark dreaming, a negative narrative, do you realize without those things, you are simply shimmering? Beautiful, shimmering, transfiguring, transparent light. I say this as a truth, not as a speculation, not as some wool-gathering fantasy, but the actual fact that we are in the process right now of incorporating so much light into ourselves. So much of the past history is dissolving. So much of the heavy narrative that sometimes through grace it simply lifts and dissolves, and you may go back in there to try to find it and there's nothing there anymore. Grace has carried it away. Love has set you free. So lighten, please, do lighten your load. Give over your burdens, your worries, your concerns to grace. Give over all your worries. Let go. Fly free. So very often on the inner planes, I'm teaching people how to fly. It's so simple to me. I love to fly in the spiritual body. I suppose a lot of you listening do as well. And it's so easy. I simply have that intention and I push off from my thymus, my chest area, with a, what could we call it, a thought of great hope. I don't even know that you call it hope, but the intention is one of lightness of being that simply flies. And I notice that a lot of people can't fly. And I don't understand why. And then I looked and looked, and it's like, oh my gosh, they need to lighten up. It's those dark and heavy thoughts that bind you, both physically and in the subtle planes. It's like lead in your pants. And I remember Peter Pan when he was teaching the children how to fly. He also taught them not to think heavy thoughts, but to lighten up, to have bright thoughts, positive thoughts, thoughts of hope and joy and happiness and I can do. You know, we can do this. And as long as your thoughts are light and positive, you can fly anywhere you want. Cosmos is open to you. Go fly and sing amongst the stars and incredible myriads of worlds. And you can lift off and fly very easily when you're unburdened by heavy thoughts. So every thought of beauty, hope, love, faith, enable you to fly high above the lower dimensions, whether you're in a physical body or in the subtle bodies on the inner plane. Imagine, if you would, you're out in a beautiful fall evening. The stars are starting to come out. A gentle breeze is dropping the leaves around you. And you're far, far away from city lights. And as the stars begin to appear, one by one, realize with wonder as you consider that vast panorama of scintillating worlds. There are billions of galaxies containing billions of universes with billions of solar systems. And each and every orb that you gaze upon is a world teeming with life. And I have to tell you from my personal soul travels, the life I have encountered has been birthed of love. For nothing that the Creator has created, that we call the Supreme Absolute, has created anything but love. For the purpose of experiencing loving relations and interactions, the one became the many to experience the thrill of loving. There is nothing more transcendent and transcending than that experience of losing your separateness in love. All that appears to be apart from you, you find within your own vast cosmic body. And you love it all. So you can travel in your soul into these wondrous worlds of great wonder and beauty and delight. And I tell you for a truth, fret not, all of you, everything that you cherish and love about Earth is preserved and kept safe for you forever. Everything, the earth is pristine and abundant with all of its diversity of nature, all of its species, all of its wildlife, its fauna and flora. Everything is flourishing upon this higher dimension. Nothing God has created is ever lost, nor could ever be destroyed. All that God created was birth from love. In fact, is all love. And is love's own longing to be shared through loving. And here that means relationships and interacting with each other, with life, with the energies that come forward to us until our natural knee-jerk response to everyone and everything is goodwill and kindliness and loving and understanding, because it's a heart that understands that every negative expression but veils a deep fear. And what is the fear? That we won't be loved. Everyone wants love. Everyone fears rejection. And yet, the Supreme Creator hasn't an iota of knowledge about rejecting anyone. The Lord always says yes, yes, yes. So in this new dimensional earth, there are no predators. All species, including mankind, enters and interacts together lovingly. Therein the lion eats hay happily alongside the cattle and sheep. And neither does anything do harm to another. And toddlers enjoy playing with the cobra. And the cobras enjoy playing with the toddlers. When I was a very, very young child, a toddler actually, several times I came home with a snake in my hand, an alive snake. And I'd say, "Look, Mommy, pretty baby, pretty baby." So I was a child that loved all things, creeping and crawling, and was never harmed, and never saw harm in anything. So we're seeing this interspecies bonding and friendship occurring in the animal kingdom. Facebook is filled with videos of unusual interspecies bonding. So the animal kingdom, you see, is devoid of the heaviness of the mind. Doesn't have that heavy ego mind. And therefore, the energies of love of this new era that's dawning easily, easily impact the animal kingdom. So I'm going to shift a little bit into what we're actually experiencing. So the native elders were warned by the Great Spirit to not adopt the modern technology of the white man, for they were aware that when the grids shift, as they will irrevocably at some point, and I believe we're really right close to that point, everything man-made, everything synthetic, everything adulterated and mixed with things that shouldn't be mixed will vanish when the grid shifts. And everything that exists has a grid. Even the tiniest little bug has a grid of its own. And then there's the collective grid. And we're pulled like a net, as it were, by the divine into the next dimension. And then into a new grid alignment that is consistent with that particular world. So you may have wondered why all of the ancient archaeologists never find any of its advanced technology that we know the Atlanteans had, we know the Lemurians had, we know other civilizations had. Where is it? Well, it's because everything that was made by man vanishes. So what we find are clay pots, engraved stones, stone temples and slabs, stone walkways, stone statuary, natural fibers, and pure gold, and such artifacts as that. And yet we know they had advanced technology. So our modern technology, while it has made our lives easier, has actually stunted our growth mentally and spiritually. The average person today is entirely dependent upon technology, smartphones, and instant access to information. The internet, all of that has made them mentally handicapped and spiritually retarded. However, you can't Google the broadening of your own understanding and self-awareness. Go out. At least mentally imagine yourself looking at the vastness of the cosmos. Some of the NASA photographs they're getting now, oh my heavens, contemplate some of these. Contemplate, broaden your mind. Broaden your understanding. So our current root race is the fifth subrace of the fifth root race. And what that means in a nutshell is that the focus is the mind. It's all about understanding how the mind operates and mastering the mind. We spoke about that, the mind, last week. But in mastering that mind, there's little to no chance of attaining any degree of mastery over the mind without specific periods of in-depth study, concentration, rumination, and application of what one has learned. So if you move in, if you're in a constant mental hullabaloo of noise, and intaking games and media, and never allowing yourself to be still and to truly focus your attention on something of deep, deep contemplation, such as the wonders of the cosmos. Without that, you see, the mind is never still enough to register the higher energies of illumination. They kind of come in and bounce off your aura. You have to make some space, some room, some opening for these higher energies to integrate. Otherwise, unfortunately, they produce dreadful headaches, and in your worst-case scenario, strokes. So never fight these energies. Never fight them. Don't complain when you have a headache, but open your mind and drop the resistance and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, thy will be done. You're not in control. You've never been in control. You never will be in control. So let go and let God. The Aquarian age we're moving into is an age in which we will see religion and science blend into one. The science of mind and how the mind creates. The science of the soul and how it emanates the divine principle. These are the things that will be understood. The laws governing the mind and its illumination through soul infusion. This is what will constitute the new psychology. The understanding of how the soul infusion affects the human organism and endocrine system. That will constitute the new medical approach. The science of invocation and evocation and cyclic approach will constitute the new religion. We will corporately move into an understanding, an acceptance, and an appreciation of each lens of truth that every world faith has provided. Each of them is a valid way of turning that diamond of truth and experiencing it through the different facets. Each one complements the other. And there is no squabbling except among people who have yet to be enlightened. Not a single enlightened one will dispute religion or the superiority of their religion over that of another. It just doesn't exist within the mind and heart of a truly illumined person. So the science of interrelationships and rhythmic interaction within the vastness of our solar system, our universe, our galaxy, will reveal ultimately our place within the cosmic family. We have so much silliness and kerfluffle over people's skin color here. What in the world are you going to do on Earth when the blue race and the green race and the violet race and all these different colored beings from different realms and planets began to visit? How silly, when the only thing we're talking about is skin pigmentation, so that the more sun you have in an area, the darker the skin. And the less sun you have in an area, the lighter the skin. But that's as far as racial issues go. So part of broadening the understanding is having no prejudice, no againstness towards any race, color, creed, nationality, culture, religion or lack thereof, or whatever the ideology may be. We've got to mature beyond this childish behavior. So the most important breakthrough with the new energies coming in will be the establishment of right human relationships through harmonious cooperation and sharing this planet as a global family. Now consider all the assistance now available and currently upon Earth. We're talking about physical bodies living on the physical Earth. And more of these great beings are coming in every day. Some of them are appearing in, some are walking in, some are descending their astral bodies into physical manifestation, some are being born, some are walking in, displacing people who want to leave and have still a very good operational vehicle that could be used by another. There's all different ways of people coming in here. Many of the ones coming in are beings who have already perfected themselves in terms of the Earth's evolution. And they have immortalized their body in many cases, so we could call them ascended masters. And some of them are in the process of still ascending, and some of them are in the process of simply choosing to be here, to be of service, although they have really no reason or need to do so. They just wanted to come in and help. So in truth, we're covered and we haven't a thing to worry about. We have the world teacher, the Lord Maitreya, Maitreya Buddha, if you will, in London. We have the Master Jesus in Rome. Both of these, I have told you, I have seen and met and interacted with. And we have some 16 or more of the 40 masters of wisdom that have volunteered to come forward and live outwardly in the modern world. And they're going to be in the various cities throughout the planet. Eventually, they will be known as to their location, and they will be available so people can actually study with them and know who they are, interact with them. Now, we have millions of their disciples and initiates already awakened, and those now awakening to their missions that are on Earth or in process of incarnating. Then we have the new group of world servers, comprised of those of loving hearts who are dedicated to serving. And these can be found in all departments of society. Then we have the men and women of goodwill. These are kind-hearted, salt-of-the-earth types of folks. We all know them. And we meet these people every day in all walks of life. And then we have those special children, those very advanced souls and young bodies. And then we have starseed, folks like you and me, people who relate to having come here from another planet or place in the universe. And a lot of us come in because we have volunteered to be of service at this time. Some of us have karma, perhaps with the earth, and a lot of us don't have karma with the earth, but we're volunteers. Many of you, the Ashtar or the Galactic Command, are what we could term those of the ground crew of Earth volunteers who come in to be of service. I remember John Roger years ago saying, as long as these great souls are being born on Earth and these babies, we don't have a thing to worry about in terms of the future. Because think about it. These great souls certainly weren't going to be putting themselves on a planet that was going to destroy itself. So the fact that they keep coming in and coming in and coming in, I think is proof positive that we're moving into this golden age that is said to have dawned in 2012. And we have been moving gradually, more and more into that higher energy. And at the same time, there's the old energy that fights against it. There's always the conflict of the old energy that's been established and the new incoming energy. And it's like two currents, disparate currents that fight one another. But it gradually, you know, they find their own way to go the way of their major motivation or intention. So these great babies, great souls and little babies are being born every day. And so there's going to be no apocalyptic wipeout, no World War III, no extinction event, no post-human scenario. No zombie apocalypse, no artificial intelligence, soulless robotic takeovers. No, none of that. None of that. Instead, we have the golden age of love and truth, the Satya Yuga dawning, led by the third in the series of cosmic avatars, Prema Sai Baba. So you had Satya Sai Baba. You had the first incarnation of the Sai avatars, Shirdi Sai Baba, born in North India in the town of Shirdi. I was with him in that incarnation. And then you had Satya Sai Baba, the second in that series that many, many of you have encountered and know of, and with whom I have been for many years associated. And now we have Prema Sai Baba. So the actual birth of the Satya Yuga, the Age of Truth, is said to have been 2012, the year in which apparently Prema Sai Baba was born. Now, if that be so, if that be accurate, then he's about 6 years old. So, if that's accurate, and if he follows the same pattern of his previous appearances as Shirdi Sai Baba and Satya Sai Baba, who both announced their missions at the age of 14 or 13 by lunar calculations. And bear in mind, Jesus did the same thing. He was 13, had just been bar mitzvahed, when he began teaching the elders in the temple. Remember that? So it seems like these great souls very often announce their mission at that time. Jesus said, I must be about the work of my Father when his parents came looking for him. I must be about the works of my Father. Interesting enough, too, in my case, I remember when I was about 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, I looked at my mother and I said, I can't waste time being a child anymore. I distinctly remember telling her that. And she said, well, honey, what do you mean? And I said, I have a mission. I have something I have to do. And she said, well, what is it? I said, I don't know. But I just know I can't waste time being a child anymore. And then shortly thereafter, I was contacted by a being on the inner planes who 20 years later I found out was the being who had brought me to this planet from Venus and had come to take me home. And that man, that being, was the teacher, John Roger, who many of you know. And I remember at the age of 13 or thereabouts, I looked up in the night sky and I said, I can't be here any longer. There's not enough love here. Well, whoever brought me here to this planet, please come and take me home. And that was the night that this young blonde man appeared in my dreams and kept appearing in my dreams for the next 20 years. Until in 1972, I walked into my first MSIA, Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness seminars, and recognized him. And I went up and I said, are you that young blonde man that's been appearing in my dreams all these years? And he said, yes, love. I've been working with you in this lifetime since around junior high. And that was exactly what happened. So, our work in the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness was all about awakening people and opening their hearts. Opening their hearts, teaching them to lighten up, teaching them how to transcend the mind through soul travel and move their inner awareness beyond the negativity and the density of this world. And to find God in everything and everyone, everywhere. That was what John Roger taught me, was to see the good and the divine and the praiseworthy in every situation, in all people, in all things. And, of course, the movement keeps expanding and growing. So, all you need to do is Google msia.org. And you can check it out for yourself. But again, that was it's a movement of the opening hearts, the awakening hearts, the loving hearts, those who are centered in their heart. That's the whole purpose. We must open our hearts and be people of love in order to vibrate high enough to move into what we call now the golden age. The boarding pass will be an open and loving heart. So, let's say Prema Sai Baba was born 6 years ago. Let's say he's about six now. Let's say by speculation that he's going to maybe announce himself in 7 years. If that's all true, then that could mean that that information completely tallies with what Sai Baba and Lord Krishna said 5,000 years ago, and some of the Vedic references, and Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi, and others have said and foretold about the dawning of the Satya Yuga, the age of truth and love, between 2020 and 2025. You see, that all lines up. And Sai Baba has said the same thing. 2020 to 2025. You see, we're right there. We're at the very, very last of the karmic burn-off and cleansing right now that has to take place. So that all those unresolved issues can have closure now. So that those people can have the opportunity of choosing, if they so desire, if they so choose, to move into a higher, more loving position within themselves. So just hang in there a bit more. I also believe this is why many are leaving. Sometimes it's a young person, a healthy person, and they just die. And I believe, personally, that they are leaving in order to be reborn in time to participate in a certain cycle in the Golden Age with Prema Sai Baba. And I believe that's also why Sai Baba has given some of us life extensions and blessed us with long life, I being one of those. Some people have had multiple near-death experiences. I believe, in case to work through several lifetimes in one go, so they don't have to be reincarnated again and again, can finish in this time. So, what I have to say is this. It is all, every bit of it, arranged for a highest and best good by the Lord. It's all prescripted, predestined for our good. Yep. All of it. And you as a soul at that higher level chose every single bit of it. You read the script. You agreed. It looked really hard in some cases, but you said, piece of cake. No problem. And then you get down here and you forget. You get caught up identifying with the programming, the environment, the people, the things you're taught, the things you hear, your experiences. And pretty soon, you're thinking you're a human being. And you're trying to be a person, which is a fictitious character, in a world that's total Maya. And you're trying to make the whole thing work. Is there any wonder? Any wonder at all? That we're so unhappy and so confused? Because you do what everyone says, you get the education, you get the degrees, you get all the accoutrements of wealth, you get the house, the car, the love of your life, the whole shebang, and you're miserable. You're freaking miserable. So why didn't it work? And you begin to think, well, there must be something wrong with me. I must have missed it. I wasn't enough. I wasn't good enough. I didn't do it well enough. I missed something along the way. And then you're thinking really dark and dreary thoughts, and you're down on your case. And all the while, you've been battling phantoms of your own imagining. And you haven't looked beyond the outer to the inner. You know, the great Ek Master Ribazar Tars, some of you may have heard about, spoken of in Ekankar. He's the Tibetan master that was the master of Paul Twitchell, who founded Ekankar. And he said in his beautiful book, Stranger by the River, he told this to Paul. You must give up thy mind and body and enter into the heavenly kingdom in the pure body. There is no way to God except through the path of the eternal, the way of the eternal, which he spoke of as Ekankar in the book. But that's what it means, the way of the eternal, which is, by the way, the path of divine light and sound. There can be no denying of this. Nothing but the perfect bliss of God exists within the true heavenly home. I have no words of glory to describe this state of heaven. It is glorious and peaceful to the soul that dwelleth there, and none desire to return to this earth after a taste of the bliss of thy Lord. So you must seek nothing but this. And then again, I tell you not to seek it, for the Lord will not reward thee for thy deeds. For in this land there is no reward, no good, no evil. You must earn thy way into heaven by the casting off of all bondage within this world. Nothing can compare to his pure light, and the result of encountering this light will destroy all thy bounds of karma and give thee refuge in him who lives in the heaven of heavens. Pain and suffering exist in the mind and body of man until he takes his refuge in the omnipresence of God. Until man decides to do this, he will continue to live in the duality of this world and cannot be drawn into this, his inner God self, where the realization of all things of the seven spheres of heaven may be possible. Therefore, I tell you that you must examine, inspect, and release all things in a state of balance, being swayed neither to the right nor the left, nor up nor down. Then, having learned to live in the center of soul, you will rejoice in the perfect bliss of God. But until you learn to bring thy senses under subjection, there can be no living in soul within thy holy self. The seeker, in this case it was Paul Twitchell, the seeker saw the great smile on the Tibetan's lips and felt the joy of soul rising within him. He lifted his head and laughed with happiness, for suddenly everything in this world seemed to be filled with throbbing waves of rapture. Rebazar Tars joined him, and their laughter rang out over the waters. The birds stirred in their nests and chirped sleepily, and even the fishes in the deep river stopped and listened with wondrous delight. You know, that's exactly what happens when we lift above the heaviness of the lower mind and its heavy, dark thoughts and imaginings. We surface, and there's a sense of such relief. It reminds me of the lesson in the Course of Miracles where it says, I need do nothing. I need do no thing. I just need to relax, let go, and let God. And when you realize you are enough, you've always been enough, you are the beloved emanation of God, of God's own longing to extend love and light and grace, and peace, and joy. When you get that, when you realize that, when you realize that you're already transfiguring and shimmering between the dimensions, or shimmering as we move more and more irrevocably into this higher state of life, existence, awareness. Right now, as we sit or lie down, or wherever you are in that process of shimmering more and more and more and more into that new state that we call the new era, the golden age, the Satya Yuga. And at one point, the grid shifts, and you're there. And there's no more coming back into this perception of duality. And you don't have to die to get there. Well, you can, I mean, but you'll still get there. But the truth is that we're not where our body is. We're where we are vibrating. We are a vibrational state. This is not chronological. You don't have to wait to 2020 or 2025 or 2050 or any of that. You can move in now. Let go of the dark narrative. Let go of trying to make this human life in this illusory world work. Doesn't mean that you don't do what you do, but don't be attached to it. Don't be identified with it. Don't be limited by it. Play it like a game, like a role, like a character in a play. But don't sell out your sense of being into anything of this world. And be happy, because the end is assured. Sai Baba said there is no possibility of failure for any one of us. Success is already written into your life script. And joy and bliss, absolute fulfillment is there for you now. Everything you really want beneath all that fear and pain and worry and concern and negative narrative, all you want really is to be loved and happy and at peace. Isn't it? Well, that's assured. But you have to lighten up. Lighten up. Let go. And let yourself transfigure into this new golden age that's present right now and available for the entering. So I trust this has been helpful. I hope it will alleviate some of the fears and speculations and all the nonsense we see on the YouTubes and the internet and people running around like Henny Penny. Sky's falling, the sky's, you know, that sort of scenario. And all is well. In fact, all has never been better. It looks really messy on the outer. But look below, or look beyond, or look above, and you'll find something else very beautiful is coming into being and manifestation. And it's for you and me. It's for everyone who wants that. So let's go out chanting on IHU. And as we do that, let's raise our hands and send the blessings from our palm chakras out to the atmosphere, the environment, the planet, the space that we're occupying, the place where we happen to be, our neighborhood, our city, our state, our country, our province, wherever we are. May everything and everyone be blessed. May everyone and everything be healthy. May everything and everyone be happy. And may all awaken to the pure and perfect divine love that each one is at heart. Deep breath. Anayu. Anayu. God bless you. Namaste.